In a packed house on a weekend night in the middle of a crazy rainstorm, Nobel Prize-winning scientist Steven Weinberg talked about his life and our world as an 81-year-old passing the torch to a new generation of physicists and a seeker of answers for all his long life. His newest book is about the grand story of how science took hold of civilization over the past more than 2,000 years to explain the world, the discovery of modern science. Weinberg urges us to recognize what was so wrong about the great philosophers of the classical period and how later pioneers gradually began to do real science. The era of Plato's wild speculations about the world was replaced by the Hellenistic giants, who began to see the world as it really is.
The difference is night and day. The classical era, which is so much admired for its literature, its historiography, its sculpture, was not mature in its development of scientific ideas. Before the time of Aristotle, leading up to and including Plato, there was no idea that you actually had to verify a theory. Theories were proposed for their aesthetic appeal, somewhat like a poet today writing poetry, not expecting anyone to answer the question, is beauty really truth? Is truth beauty? The simple idea of taking a theory and testing it against observation didn't exist, and not because people were stupid, but because it's hard to see that that's what you have to do if you've never seen it done. With Aristotle, you begin to have a sense that your ideas have to be verified. For example, he gives arguments to the effect that light travels faster than sound. And he gives arguments why the world is round. Not only theoretical arguments, he had a grand theoretical picture, which is all wrong, but he had observational arguments. The sky, when you travel north or south, begins to look different. The stars rise and set at different times. Aristotle was, to some extent, beginning to play the role of a scientist, but he didn't believe in mathematics. He didn't believe that the use of mathematics played any role in understanding nature. He never did use mathematics. And he had ideas we've had to unlearn, ideas about purpose, that if you really want to understand the meaning of something, you have to understand its purpose. And, you know, there is no purpose in the inanimate world. I'm not sure how much purpose there is anywhere else, but at least in the motion of the planets or the fall of a rock or the burning of a bush, there's no purpose. And it was important to eschew that way of thinking.
What in your time as a scientist do you think the greatest unlearning has had to be to make progress in physics going back, say, 100 years? Not that you go back 100 years, but we're getting there.
I think we've had to learn better the idea that the world is governed by a unified set of laws, which we don't yet know, but that physics and chemistry are not separate sciences. And even biology, as strongly influenced as it is by historical accidents, like the shapes of the continents and the fact that a comet may have hit the Earth 65 million years ago, biology itself doesn't have independent laws. There's no biological law that says organisms have to evolve to get better. That's a consequence of natural selection acting on inheritable variations, which was really only, although it was stated by Darwin, it was doubted, and it really only became well established with the neo-Darwinian synthesis in the 20th century.
Who do you most admire? Whose heroic leaps of intellectual effort?
Well, so many of them did break loose from what had generally been accepted. Newton, of course, was the greatest figure of all in the sense that, although he's a very strange character and someone I don't think I would like to have a beer with, but his achievement, giving us a theory that's a model for what a physical theory can be and can do, that changed the world. Certainly changed science. The historian Trevor Roper said that it was the success of Newton's theories that eventually led to the end of burning witches.
You say that part of the development of science was removing the shackles of having to believe that something had a purpose or that it had some sort of original intent that might be divinely inspired or otherwise. The impulse to explain the world comes from something in humans called consciousness. There's no particular reason why humans would need to or want to explain the world necessarily. Is there a purpose to consciousness? Is consciousness pointless?
Well, I think everything's pointless. In the sense that there's no point out there to be discovered by the methods of science. It's not to say that we don't create points for our lives. For many people, it's their loved ones. That's all the point that's needed for many people, and it's probably the main point for me. And for some of us, there's a point in scientific discovery and other points, but these are all invented by humans, and there's nothing out there that supports them. In a way, it's more noble to give point to our lives ourselves rather than to accept it from some external source.
I would say, very well said. Dr. Steven Weinberg, thank you so much.
Steven Weinberg won the 1979 Nobel Prize in Physics. He's the author of many books, including his latest, To Explain the World, The Discovery of Modern Science. I talked to him at the World Science Festival in New York on Sunday.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.